Well, that's it. That is it.
I quit. I'm going home.
No, it's working. Finally.
Oh, you just sounded like you were ready to walk.
That's it. That's it. I'm happy.
Why are you happy?
Well, I'm happy today. I don't know why.
Why are you happy?
It doesn't make no sense.
Because you're not at work?
Well, that always makes sense. Well, I don't know. My last couple of weeks at work have been just insanely good.
Wow.
I know. I don't get it either. So
as opposed to mine.
But I do have to say that, and I'm only going to say it once this week. Only once are you going to hear this.
I don't know where it is either, people.
This is Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
Happy Father's Day.
Yes,
Happy Father's Day, man. I bought my dad The Sopranos first season.
Now he knows. Did you already drop it
off? No, I dropped it off.
Oh, okay, there you go.
I wouldn't have said that.
I was going to say.
Well, no, you saw. I come walking in with my bag. Like,
yep, that's
check
true.
It out. Well, I went there to buy Sopranos.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk in, get the Sopranos, and walk right back out. That's always the plan.
Yeah.
But I go in there, and I'm like, okay, there it is. Cause it was actually funny. I looked everywhere for it.
Right.
I looked everywhere for it. Could not find it anywhere. I'm like, you know, I've seen it here before. Now when I'm looking for it, so typical, I can't find it. And then I'm walking along, and I see some guy with one in his hand. I'm like, hey, come here. Where'd you get that from? I grab my shirt, pick him up, you know. And I'm like, where'd you get that from? He's like, oh, it's right there, like right in front of us. And I'm like, thank you. So I grab it.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
And of course, I'm walking around. Ooh, look. Ooh, you know, I've always meant to buy episode 4, 5, and 6, and now they have a wonderful box set for it. You know what? It's a few bucks, big deal. No problem, whatever. So, okay, I grab that. Now I have Sopranos and Star Wars episode 4, 5, and 6.
Right.
Great. And, ooh, look. Ooh. Pie. I've always meant to buy pie. And it's only like $10.
Press enter. Is it enter or return?
Yeah, it's return.
Return.
It's return.
Press return.
So I grab that, right? I grab that. And then, Scarface, silver metal edition. With the extended chainsaw scene, right? And I'm like, oh, God, Will's going to love this. I need to grab this. So now I have a stack of DVDs. And I'm thinking to myself, this is really going to cost a lot of money. And of course it did. I mean, it just about broke me. But
I dropped $100 at Media Play.
Try $100 and... What are you pimping Media Play?
I like Media Play, but only for books.
Well, I have the Replay Rewards card. It's great.
Ooh. Wow. And what else? You want to give their URL to?
www.replayrewards.com.
Ooh,
very nice. Very nice. Free advertising. $190.
next time you go to that one store that you're talking about,
yeah,
Scott L.
Yeah.
I have a card from there.
Oh, do you? Is it like the get out of jail free card?
I bought the Spaceball Special Edition.
Spaceballs? Really?
Oh my God!
And I bought the Stripes Special Edition.
They actually made special editions of those shows.
Yeah, and I bought Napoleon Dynamite, and then they had a thing where it was like three for 30. Three movies for $30, and there was a whole rack of different things.
Oh, that's a good deal.
And they had, I bought The Great Outdoors.
Talking to the mic, we can hear you through our headphones.
Yeah.
Welcome to the quality control department of Ghostly Talk.
Airplane.
Okay.
And The Princess Bride.
Princess Bride.
Oh, that rocks. There you go. Okay, well, Chain.
Got that.
You both win. I bought no DVDs. I didn't spend $182 on clothes last week.
For your dad?
For me.
What, you selfish jerk? What did you give to your dad?
I took care of my dad.
You just give him a wad of cash?
I took care of my
dad.
Dad, really good.
Have fun. Happy Father's Day. I love you.
That's why they're not here right now, huh?
They're gone. They're out, yeah. They're out in an H2 somewhere, like cruising around the casinos.
So they, so anyway, you guys, then I went to Circuit City, I never go there. I hate that place.
What's going on here?
I despise that place. I went in there one time with Will.
Yeah.
Right? That's when I bought this. Did I buy these there? I don't remember. No, a DVD player.
Right.
Like $36.
Right, yeah.
And the guy's like, what's your name, address, phone number, firstborn child, future wife's name?
Blood type,
cornea scan. And I'm like, make it out to cash sale.
Beautiful.
And but I had to do that. I had to do that anyway. Even though I didn't go to Circuit City, I went to this other place where you had been to last week, Scott.
Yeah.
I ended up with
now the store I went to today.
Yeah.
I put my stuff up there. I said, well, of course, they tried to sell me a subscription to Time. I'm like,
what?
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with that?
Upsell. Yeah. But that has absolutely nothing to do with what they sell.
But you know what? I can handle that because you know what? They said, here's how much it costs. Here's my money. Thank you very much, sir. Have a nice day. See you later. And I walked right out.
See, they usually have
me
for
crap.
My zip code at that place.
Got nothing. Nothing. I don't.
Good. That's how it should be.
Nothing whatsoever.
I can see they just ask for a zip code, because that way they get some demographics to actually do like mailers and things. But asking for your exact address and name and phone number and
crap. Like at that CC place that I accidentally mentioned, but did not go to.
Yeah.
Again. But no, I went to a different place. The place you had been to before, last week, buying your items that you bought. And, of course, they asked, and I said, make it out to
those people. Those people fear me. My picture's up on the wall now, I think. They hate me over
she
there.
She goes, name, address, telephone number, blood type. I'm like,
Death Metal. That's my name.
This is a cash sale.
It's a cash sale.
But
why?
She's like, okay.
Yeah. So they shouldn't have to argue.
I think they now have a button there because of you and me. Yeah. A button on their register.
It's an alarm.
For cash
it's an alarm. Yeah. It's an alarm for the police to come and take you away. He did not give us his information for this sale. He will go to jail for this. Anyways, happy Father's Day.
Yeah,
why the hell did we end up from Father's Day to conspiracy again? All right. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. I hope there's a whole lot. Well, actually, I don't hope there's a lot of fathers out there that are listening to the show.
Well, they'll listen to the archive.
Yeah. Happy Father's Day. Wonderful. Really? Great.
Yeah. Happy Father's Day.
Especially to my father, because he's awesome and he's feeling better, so. Cool,
awesome.
Sweet. He's got something really cool
to
watch now.
My father's missing in action, so there you go.
We need to tell a story.
Well, first, I have to tell some other stuff. Because I have to say things like, Ghostly Talk is broadcast on... Ghostly Talk is broadcast live from the Honda Basement Studios in Fraser, Michigan. On, leave my levels up. Oh. live from the Honda Basement Studios in Fraser, Michigan. Gorgeous day here in Fraser today.
Oh, yeah.
We're also broadcast on Pioneer Radio at pioneer.rollo.net.
Mm-hmm.
We're broadcast live on Independent Music Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Indie Music Exchange.
Right, there's no E in Exchange.
No, it's the Exchange.
Radio New York International.
Yeah, they're all on our site. Man.
And there's a whole bunch of archive affiliates as well.
Yeah.
So
KQRP, KQRP out in Florida, California is going to be doing. We're going to be on there pretty soon. We found out we're going to be getting interviewed.
I hope so.
It's going to happen. I mean, it's going to be really interesting.
Thoroughly enjoy that. And I know also we're also distributed via podcast now.
Yep.
The plunge. I made the little RSS script file that you need, and we're podcasting now.
That's a big thing for us. We've been talking about it for a very long time, and I know we've discussed it, and I'm like, Doug, let's do it, man. Because we've been watching the podcasting community for a little while now, and it's really cool.
And
it's
plus,
really
we got
cool.
to speak with Mr. Pooh,
who gave us a lot of good pointers, who was very cool
so
about it. So
we're in there now.
Let's
do
it.
We're doing podcasting. So if you're listening to this on a podcast, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Yeah, we're just trying to get ourselves out there with this free media.
Well, that's
this
the thing.
Free media as far as we can.
That's the thing. I was downloading a bunch of podcasts pretty much all weekend. And I'm thinking, man, this is, some of it's, you know, just kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Some of it's not up my alley or anything. But some things are just amazing. And I'm thinking, this is just incredible. This is what the internet can do.
Yeah.
When you bring together all kinds of talented and some not so talented people, put them, you know, give them a tool. The internet podcasting has really, really given a lot of people the tool to put themselves out there.
Mm-hmm.
And let the world hear it. It's free. Completely
let the world hear what they have to say.
All of the archives of Ghostly Talk, completely free. Every single one that we have. I mean, there's a few missing archives. And I know I have them on
they're
the
buried in
somewhere.
The vault somewhere. We also have the other 13 that are hiding in the vault, too.
The initial 13.
And we've had request upon request, and it's like, you know, I'd love to give these to you, because I really don't care personally, but Doug would have my scalp if I did that, so I really can't let these go. I'm sorry. But that's all. Still,
if we were
to come up with a contest.
I'll tell you what, here's the thing.
If we were to do it,
why don't
free.
We do something with the initial 13 in October?
Okay.
We'll master a CD, although they're hideously terrible quality, because we didn't know, well, we still don't know how to do all this stuff. But, I mean, we really didn't know how to do this stuff back then.
Uh-huh.
And they're really, really bad quality. They were done.
Actually, they don't sound too bad. They're a little low, and I mean, we can fix them. If you wanna...
I don't know. I don't like them. But, hey, you know, let's do something with them in October.
All right. We'll have something set up for October. We're gonna find some way to broadcast them or maybe give them away to a few. There is going to be a contest. We have a contest coming up. I haven't told you guys yet.
Okay.
It's something, well, I've gotten some free stuff from some publishers, and we talked about it. I'm not going to name any names right now. We got some free stuff from some publishers, and we discussed it, and I'm like, hey, they're like, how about you have a contest or something? And I'm like, that'd be really cool. So we're going to try to devise some little contests here and there to give stuff away. Just to give their books and stuff like that.
Okay.
Don't roll your eyes.
I didn't hear about this at all.
It's just,
did you get the memo?
No.
I
didn't get the memo.
We're having our weekly meeting on the air, like we usually do. Okay.
I called this meeting of Ghostly Talk to order.
No, we might bring back out some Phobos again. Well, I might have to bring that back out.
Yeah.
That was pretty interesting. And,
it rocked.
And we have some stuff I want to get.
I'm
gonna
get with Gary because I never sent him anything.
Oh yeah, we need to get that. That was like a year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that. Sorry, Gary. Sorry, man.
We
Gary from OSR. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Oops.
You're talking about done. Naked.
We've seen him like 3 times since then. We haven't even.
We could have brought something to that person.
David wants to see you naked.
Who wants to see you naked?
They're talking about taking naked pictures of each other and sending them. So I said to CC all the pictures to you, Scott.
Who's going to send naked pictures?
8-Bit, Ghost Hunter, and probably Misty.
Probably
Misty.
It sounds like one of these is female.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
as most people know, I do dig females. Okay? Well, I do appreciate some males, but I don't dig them. All right, I appreciate
you. He says he doesn't want to see you naked.
But I don't think it matters at that point. Because anybody sees me naked, they'll be really grunting and screaming. I don't care, male, female, frog, anything.
Frog.
Like,
Ribbit. Yeah. Ribbit. Spread out on a hood of a Mustang. Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. That's great. That's a wonderful visual there. Thanks, Doug. I'm scarred for the rest of the night.
I'm telling you. Well, that would scar anybody for a while.
So, yeah, we're flying out all over the place. This stuff is all free. We remind people that.
Right.
Because some people don't get it. Some people just don't get it.
Ghostly Talk is under the open content license. That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, the open content license rocks. There's
what now?
The delay finally hit him.
Oh, great. Okay, cool. All right.
No, Will. No.
I think Kermit on the hood of a Mustang would be hot.
And Misty's like, that's exactly why I took my webcam off my computer.
the open content license.
Yeah, yeah.
It's there for so that you can publish content on the internet,
mm-hmm.
and allow people to distribute it to themselves and to other people for free.
Yeah.
You could even, I guess, technically charge a few dollars for the media if you give someone a CD.
Cover your costs.
Say, hey, dude, you know, it cost me like a dollar for the media.
Yeah.
Oh, here you go.
Here you go, yeah.
You know,
transaction there.
So technically you could do that, but for the most part...
You're still
know,
not making a profit. You're still not profiting off that. You're
right.
Just recouping your
profit
expenses.
A little bit. I mean, who cares? But
we don't. No, we never have.
We don't profit off the show. We've been doing it for... this is our fourth year.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, with the podcasting distribution going on, I just think this rocks. I want you to copy the MP3 files. I want you to burn them on CD. I want you to give them to your friends. Give them to your family. Give them to anybody.
Give them to anybody.
Because you know what? Ghostly Talk is free.
It's always been free, and it always will be free.
And what we did is, more recently, mm-hmm. like earlier Ghostly Talks probably have some issues
mm-hmm.
Because of the music in the breaks.
Yeah.
Newer Ghostly Talks have no issues like that.
No. We've
worked with independent bands, because we're an independent show. We've worked with independent bands to allow us to incorporate that into our show,
mm-hmm.
their music into our show, and
help
so
them out.
Help them out.
Yeah.
And distribute this through the through whatever means.
Yeah. So there's no hang-ups anymore. Distribute it freely. It's all
distribute
free.
Freely. Enjoy.
Some people. It's so funny because some people. I mean, I meet people and they may not have heard the show or whatever. I'm like, yeah, well, we do this little show, and they're like, oh, well, you know, how much does it cost? I'm like, it don't cost anything. You go to the site. You go to the archives page if you want to download the shows, and you download them.
Hundreds of hours.
You download the shows. That's all you gotta do. That's all you have to do, man.
And now it's even easier. If you get a podcast program like iPod,
it does it automatically for you.
If you get iPodder or Doppler or any of those podcast programs,
mm-hmm.
you program it in one time.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time you run that program, it checks to see if there's a new Ghostly Talk up.
Yep.
Or a new anything that you subscribe to. Mr.
Yeah.
Poos, Hometown Tales. Hometown Tales is a rocking
I'm yet
podcast.
To hear that, but I have heard that it is phenomenal.
I am telling you, Hometown Tales is awesome.
I don't know who told me about it, but yeah, you know.
It could have been me, because I was probably going around going, oh my gosh, the Hometown Tales program is great, you know. And it just rocks. I mean, there's like all these great podcasts out there, mm-hmm. and I want people to get exposed to this stuff.
Absolutely.
It's free. You don't have to be a member. You just have to download it and enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the lesson for this week. Every once in a while, we like to remind people that.
Right.
Because it's very important. We want to make sure that people understand that there's no hang-ups here. You know, we like people coming to the site. We like people giving us their feedback. I mean, I just threw a poll up there that said, hey, what do you want to hear more of on the show?
Apparently, Earth Mysteries.
Earth
right?
Mysteries.
What's the winning in the poll?
What is the poll? I'm just curious. Yeah,
Earth Mysteries.
Is it Earth?
Yeah.
Well, that's gonna be right up your alley, because, man, come July, I'm not saying a word right now, but come July, oh, wow.
Well, do you know, all right, here, let's just say one word about July.
Okay.
Okay? I did say in a bulletin board, right?
Yeah.
On ghostlytalk.com, we've got a bulletin board.
Yeah.
And in there, somebody or other had said something about, well, that last show, the one about podcasting with Mr. Poos, wasn't really up my alley. But, you know, hey, you know, in 4 years, you're not going to do every show be interesting.
Yeah.
And I wholeheartedly agree. Not that that show wasn't interesting, because I really dug that show.
I had a ball.
It was right up my alley. Mm-hmm. But you know, there have been shows in the past that I thought weren't very interesting,
mm-hmm.
but I learn. Yeah. I learn every single
every
show.
Every single week we learn something.
Yeah, whether or not I'm into it, it's not my thing. Like, I'm not a big conspiracy theory buff, mm-hmm. right? It's just not my thing. Put me on an Edgar Casey show, and woo, I'm in heaven,
yeah.
right? So I have interests myself, and everybody has interests themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I did say in the article, or the little post, I mm-hmm. guess you would call it,
mm-hmm.
I said, I've seen the upcoming guest list for July. And July is going to...
We're going to be busy.
It's going to totally rock.
I can't wait. We're going to probably post it up in a couple of days on the site.
I'm really impressed. I am really impressed with July. It's been...
We're really excited.
I'm really excited about July.
We hope you guys will be too. When we post this thing up, man, I want to... We're going to just keep the drama there.
I don't want to let any cats out of the bag.
It's fun. I can't wait for July. It's gonna be great. It's gonna make it a great summer just by doing that. Because in August we got a big plan for August. We talked about before the show.
As a matter of fact, August before the show and before this show.
Mm-hmm.
And August is gonna be right up my alley.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
August is gonna be one of my favorite months.
Mm-hmm.
But July, I'm telling you. Hard-hitting, riveting, mm-hmm. entertaining, very informative.
Oh, it's going to be a ball.
The guests are just absolutely insanely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
July is going to rock.
It's going to be great.
It's
meanwhile,
be hot here,
though,
but it's going to rock.
Meanwhile, let's talk about this show, though.
Okay, this show.
This is going to be an interesting show. This is going to be a different show.
This is very different.
This is going to be very different.
A lot of things Ghostly Talk's doing lately is different.
Yeah,
but
this is going to be... I'm not going to lie to you. I told you when I got here today, Doug. I'm like, you know, I was a bit nervous about booking this, and when it came to, like, we're at the starting gate now, I'm going, oh man, is this going to happen or not? Is this going to happen? Now, just so, I told you I wanted to do this,
right.
just so people understand why
right.
we're doing this, okay? And you'll understand when I'm done here. A few months ago, back in February, I've been on midnights. Everybody knows that now. I work midnights, right? So I'm sitting here in the middle of the night by myself, usually, with nobody around me. So I'm trying to find cool things to read. Yes, I do a lot of that, Will. I saw that.
That's why Ghostly Talk does not have a webcam. Although we could technically now, because I've hooked up this little digicamcorder that's up there. I hooked up to the USB port, and it streams live video. It's a function.
Hot, streamy, Ghostly Talk live action.
That would suck.
That would suck. Major ass. Anyways, though. So, yeah, middle of the night, I'm like on my first month and a half of working midnights. I'm hating life. I'm trying to find some way to make this time I have by myself on my off time, where I'm just kind of relaxing, useful, right?
So, midget porn.
Midget porn. So I started looking at midget
Is
porn
that
sites.
Useful?
That's not very useful at all, unless you're a midget. So... I'm not a midget, though, so I guess that's not going to work.
Right.
I mean, I've been called a midget before, because I'm not very tall, but...
Well, compared to Will...
Compared to Will, I'm a midget.
Most people... How tall are you, by the way?
6'6".
Because I've been watching the that basketball stuff go on, because the you know the Pistons are in some kind of playoffs.
Right.
And
I'm just giving to the bar as soon as the show's over.
Oh, okay. Then, but
we better cut out early then, huh?
they were introducing like some of the players and stuff, and one of them is only like 6'2" and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, but he probably runs like a cheetah though.
Well, I don't know.
He's doing something right. He plays for the Pistons.
I watch playoffs. And stuff. I don't know.
Well, you don't know the stats on every single player?
No, I don't.
Jeez, what kind of sports fan
I
are you?
I barely know their names, but if you tell me their names, I would recognize it.
I
would from them.
I have
about
no
it.
Idea.
No.
I have no clue. So no, I'm sitting there in the middle of the night. I'm trying to find something cool to read. Now, okay. I'm surfing around trying to find stuff to read, and I'm doing searches now. You guys know, like, beginning of the year, I'm still on it, too, like, full-blown.
Yeah.
Like, as a matter of fact, the newest movie came out, and I ordered it last night.
Yeah.
I'm still on this full-blown Hellraiser kick.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've always found that if you've seen the movie Hellraiser, you've seen the box, you opened it, we came, all that, you know, crazy stuff Pinhead says, right?
The closest thing to seeing the movie that I've ever done is read your fan fiction. That's the closest thing I've done.
Fun stuff right there.
But I was like, oh my gosh, that fanfiction rocks.
So, okay.
Is that linked up on the site?
Oh, yeah, it's my journal.
It's in your journal.
If you go to my journal and look for Ghostly Talk in Hell fanfiction or something like that. It's crazy. But, I've always been impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Fanatical. About, I can't think of the word.
That's more than impressed.
I was going to say fantasize. I'm like, oh, God, gross. So,
no, that's a word.
I've always been really into the Lament configuration. That's what mm-hmm. this box is called. A lot of people don't know that. I'll throw that piece of bit and news out to you, information out to you. It's called the Lament configuration. So one day I'm sitting at work and I decide, hey, I'm going to start doing Google searches on the Lament configuration to get to look at cool pictures of it and look at all the different designs and stuff. Just because I'm curious, right? So I type in Lament configuration. 800,000 pages. I'm like, okay.
Google
delivers again, right? Along with wonderful, cool images, like 3D images to look at. Because there's some people out there, obviously, that are much more into this than I am. So I start, you know, going through sites. I come across this one site. And I, okay, you know I kind of linked off it, looked at it, and I'm like, pyramid-gallery.com. So I go to the homepage. And I start scrolling around, and now I look, and this whole homepage is what they do at this site is they make replicas of the Lament configuration, along with a host of, like, I think bordering like maybe close to 100 different boxes, the same type of puzzle box, but different names, different designs, different ideas, different backgrounds, right? So now I'm like, well, neat, right? And they sell them on the site. You can buy them. I'm like, this is pretty interesting. I mouse over one of the pictures of one of the display pictures, right? The little hand comes up. Hey, cool. That means I can do something with this. I click on it and opens up this page, right? And it has these big pictures, and I start reading these stories of these boxes, right? And then I look and I see, you know, these boxes were originally made by a man named Philip Le Marchand.
Right.
Le Marchand. I actually got the French thing down. I spent weeks rehearsing that, so I got it pulled it off. Philip Le Marchand. And I want to talk. I just want to read a little bit about this particular gentleman, you know, for you guys, just to get a background on him. Okay. And I'm going to probably slaughter this, but I'll do my best. Okay. Philip Le Marchand was a French architect, artisan, and designer who is posthumously credited as possibly one of the most prolific, if undiscovered, mass murderers in the history of the modern world. Okay, he first became known for his creation of bizarre, intricately designed click. Oh, sorry, I didn't get all this stuff copied right. Intricately designed music boxes, which quickly became the rage of Europe. Okay, the boxes known in some circles as Le Marchand boxes were each one of a kind creations, which were also puzzle boxes with the answer to one's ultimate heart's desire as their solution. At the height of his career, Paris was besieged by scandalous multiple disappearances of noteworthy individuals, a number of whom had purchased Le Marchand's puzzle boxes. Suspicions, though unconfirmed, fell upon the sculptor-architect, especially inasmuch as Le Marchand's apprentice, the son of a respected clockmaker, was one of the first to disappear. Okay. Amidst this notoriety, Lamerchant fled Europe without selling his home. Apparently, certain that the authorities were closing in on him, Lamerchant discarded his already floundering career. Okay, Philip Lamerchant at the height of his career painted this self portrait allegedly using not oil but human fat as its base.
Ooh.
You'll understand in a second. The original disappeared in World War II. That's one of the things on there. The exact charges, which would have been brought against him, are unknown. For most legal records regarding Lamerchant were either expunged after his disappearance or destroyed in the early part of World War II. Lamerchant, like Moses, the lawgiver, found his name struck for most records. Okay, now. Here's I'll explain what's going on here as far as these boxes. I'm going to screw this up. Okay, I got it. In certain circles, the name Lamerchant is synonymous with dread and horror. This architect of the dam served agents far more sinister than those served by Hitler's own architect, Albert Speer. The atrocities performed by Lamerchant made him one of France's most infamous figures, rivaled only by the Devonshire family and Giles de Ross. I think I got that correct. I'm okay at that. Who had a profound effect on Lamerchant's own courting of what he called the Lords of Order, secret society. That's what that is. I've read a little bit on that. Let me hit this last part. Okay. Oh, Jesus. A classic example of Lamerchant's architectural genius, one of the earliest, the most complex of the period, was the Lament configuration. That was the first box that he created.
Okay.
I'm just going to paraphrase this, what happened. I've read this before. What Lamerchant was trying to do was create the ultimate puzzle box. He was trying to create his life's work. He was trying to create the most intricately designed puzzle box ever. In order to do this, he needed certain materials to bend and whatnot to make the little stuff work on the inside, right? He was contacted by an alchemist within Europe that said, hey, I heard that you're looking for a certain type of material to make this box of, to make it do these certain things. I have it. I'm going to send you a block of it. So he sends him a block of it, right? Philip receives the package. He finds the package on his doorstep. He looks and there's a little note on there. He reads the note. The note says, this stuff will do whatever you need it to do. The only thing you need to do with this, though, is you just can't melt it down and do what you need to do with it. You actually have to boil it with human fat.
Ah.
Now, obsessed with this, he wants to do this so bad. This is his life's work. This is his passion. Obsessed with this, he greases his assistant. That's where we read that a second ago.
Okay.
He greases his assistant. Apparently, within these texts, his biography, for the Lament configuration, he killed 14 people to make that box. Okay. Now, I read that, and I'm like, oh, whoa, heavy, right? This is amazing. So I'm reading. I'm hooked. I'm reading every single story about every single box. I'm going through everything. My 10-hour shift went right by.
Okay. You read this at work.
I read it at work.
Okay.
So I'm like, now wait, Scott. Now you're a happening, aspiring, starving artist type guy who does an internet paranormal talk show with a couple other fine fellows, and you've heard about it all. You've seen it all. You've done it all, man. You've been out there. You've been in the trenches. You've got your hands dirty. You are the man. How come you haven't heard about this?
Right.
How come you've never heard about this, man? So by this time, I've already emailed the guy who does the website, the gallery administrator, Max, saying, hey, please come on my show. Please come on my show. We want to talk to you, right? I mean, I'm so compulsive about this. I already got it going on. So I start reading up some more after I emailed him. And I'm reading, and I'm looking up. There's actual sightings, like, you know, Encyclopedia of Mass Murderers, Book of the Damned, which isn't the same Book of the Damned, not Necronomicon. There's another book called The Book of the Damned, which is about mass murderers. And I can't find any of these books anywhere. I'm on Amazon, which who has everything, right? I'm everywhere. I'm looking at the Library of Congress. I'm looking up everything. I cannot find these books anywhere. So now I start going, this is kind of weird. What's going on here? So then I find, finally, I find an entry that says, hey, what's up with this pyramid gallery, man? This guy, like, killed all these people? This is insane, man. And somebody said, okay, look, you got it wrong, man. That is nothing more than a fan fiction site dedicated to the work off of Hellraiser by Clive Barker. Clive Barker invented this whole mythology of this man named Philip Le Marchand as a basis for the Hellraiser stories, the Lament Configuration. So, of course, I feel like a complete horse's ass, right?
Because you had emailed this guy.
Yeah, like going, oh, my God, this is the coolest thing ever, right? And I email him again saying, hi, Max, this is Scott from Ghostly Talk.
I feel like a horse's, yeah, I feel like a fool.
But you know what? I said, you know what? I still want you to come on the show. I would like. I'm inviting you to come on the show. I'm hoping the guys, the other guys, are cool with it. Because you made me think, man. You made me think about a lot of stuff. Because I mean, and when we get into, we're going to get into this too. A lot of this stuff during this show, the symbolism that these boxes entail, the ideas that these boxes entail, and there's a lot more to it than just some story that was made up. I find that this really made me think, and that's why I said, Max, I really want you to come on the show because you made me think so deeply that I think this would work. And that's what we're going to do today, is we're going to talk to Max Lictor from the Pyramid Gallery, the gallery administrator, who builds these boxes and ships them out. This is what his job is, man, out in New York, the Pyramid Gallery. I think it's going to be really cool. I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm really excited, personally. I talked to Max today, and we are so stoked out about this right now. I think it's going to be really cool.
Excellent.
I wanted to talk about that. I didn't want to, like, grab the spotlight from everybody here. I just wanted to, like, make sure we had that foundation laid down before we brought Max on. So now you guys understand what's going on here. Where we're going to be talking about today, the boxes, the Lament Configuration, Love's Triangle, any of the ones that you're on the site looking at right now as we speak, right? They're works of fiction, but they're based on reality. And that's the coolest part about it, that it makes you think a little bit about what's going on. Let's take a break, Will. Are you ready, Will? Let's get out of here. We're gonna get Max on the phone. I think we've laid a real creepy bed. Oh wow. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Sean Burke, Indiana Ghost Tracker, www.indianaghost.org, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Of emotion and fate into the least of us. www.missourighost.net. You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hey guys, what's up?
Yeah, I remember her saying, I'm already dead. 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 I'm already dead.
Well, today I want you to reach the stand up and hold your hands with some stupid symbols.
I'm already dead.
You're going to get up and scream.
I'm already dead. I'm already dead.
You're going to get up and burn an X in your head.
Do you know
what?
That's loud. Do you know if
that just like pumping my eardrums, man?
I'm gonna get like way back off the mic.
That just like made my head cave in.
I'm like, ow! This is Ghostly Talk, and we're back. We have a very special guest coming up for the next hour and a half.
Oh yeah, man!
So we'll be talking to somebody that like impressed the heck out of Scott L.
He's going to impress the hell out of you guys,
and
too.
Me too. I mean,
it's going to be very cool. I think he's hiding somewhere. Let me see if we can find him. There he is. Hey, Max, are you there?
Yes, I am.
There he is. We found him. Cool.
Welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Thank you.
Now, Max, obviously, we talked on the break for a couple of seconds, and I'm like, okay, did you listen to me slaughter the crap out of your site before before we came?
Not at all. I thought you did an excellent job.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you. Is there any way, I've seen some stuff floating around. Well, what's up, Doug?
I want to know a high level, what brought it all on for Max Lichter? That's what I want to know. Why?
Oh, boy, that's a long story.
Yes, I want to know that. I just want to know a high level just to get to know you a little bit better, but, you know, and then we can get into the discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Scott,
sure.
I've been dying to get into, but I think folks out there want to know, what is Pyramid Galleries? Why is Max Lichter into this stuff? What's going on? Who is Max Lichter? So tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into all the gory stuff that
Okay.
wants to talk about.
Well, it obviously all stemmed from the Hellraiser movies that came out back in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
The first Hellraiser, then Hellraiser 2, Hellbound, were these really just off-the-chart horror movies. They weren't done in the... you know how horror movies are usually done. They're just, you know, there's a lot of blood, there's a lot of, you know, action a lot. But these movies stimulated me for some reason. I didn't quite know what it was as far as just the level of mythology that they involved. And actually, I mean, being on Ghostly Talk, the first movie is basically a ghost story about a haunted attic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is.
It's the resurrection of this character known as Frank, who was seeking these really off the chart these desires that he had.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie's there for everybody to get the whole story on that. But I really got into this whole genre of mythology that Clive Barker had created. And then a little bit later, there was a comic book series. I've always been a huge comic book fan. And they made Clive Barker put out a comic book series. He basically contributed his stories and his mythology to this greater comic book story, which involved Philip Le Martian. And so from that point, it was just basically a fanboy thing for me. Later on, a few years after that, I had many spiritual experiences that pulled me into, you know, studying prophecy and just every weird paranormal thing you can think of. My spirituality somewhat pulled me to study a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that there was these interconnections between not just the mythology of Clive Barker, but, I mean, in general, prophecy in general, there's many connections, you know, throughout. I mean, you name it, it can be connected, you know, somewhat. So...
Well, you know, and that's the thing. You mentioned right out of the gate here that, you know, and we share the same opinion. I mean, obviously, I'm the biggest Hellraiser fan in this basement right now.
Have you seen Hellraiser, Will?
It's been a very long time.
Right.
Yeah. See, I'm
they
like,
put out
I'm
so many. I think they're on number. Number 8 will be coming out, I think, in July.
Number 7? No, actually, I think was it number 8? We talked about it today too. It's Hell World, isn't it?
Hell World is number 8, I think, and they just released. Less than a week ago, Hellraiser 7, which
yeah,
is Deader.
Deader. And I ordered mine Deader. Last night. I ordered mine last night, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you pre-ordered?
No, it's out right now.
Oh, it's out. Okay.
You can pre-order the newest one, too, but like I was telling Max, I'm like, it's like $10 more if you want to pre-order it. So,
yeah, because
right, right.
I'm just
going to
wait.
Yeah.
I'll wait until it comes out, right? But you said they right out of the gate, though, Max. You know, the first two Hellraiser films, they do really... There's something about these two films, and everybody I talk to has the same opinion, that they're just different. There's something fresh, and they still are fresh. They weren't
yeah.
just your typical nutcase guy running around with a hatchet whacking people to pieces.
Right.
It just wasn't that. It was
well, the monster in the film was a human. The Pinhead and his
Pinhead.
Gang were not even the monsters. They were more like this neutral force. The true monster in the film was this human character who was pushing himself beyond the bounds of human experience.
Exactly, and one thing I found too, Doug Bradley said this himself, and he is Pinhead, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Bradley, the man, he has his own website. I think you can link right off his to his site from your site, Max.
Yeah, I do have a link for his site.
Doug Bradley,
vice versa too.
I have a bunch of interviews with Doug Bradley, and he's right. He talks about the character Pinhead, and Pinhead really isn't the villain. He's more or less the kind of guy in the middle, going, "Look, man, you screwed up, and it's my job to show that to you." These are the things you did in your life that were bad, and hey, I'm the hired hand. I'm just working for Leviathan. Okay, this is just my job. Hey, you opened the box, we came. It's time to
yeah.
come with us, right? That's like the earmark thing they say. These characters had this mythology about them, and they were called Cenobites. And if you look up Cenobites, it does have a meaning to it. Cenobite isn't just something that was made up. Max, help me out on this. I believe the Cenobite is a it's an angel of some sort. Am I correct?
It's actually a like a religious order, like a monk.
Okay, all right.
Someone that actually dwell in what would be a... I'm trying to remember what it was. Was it a... I think it was Cenobium... I think it's, but it's basically like a monastery.
Okay.
But what's comparing it to is to an order of priests, of
okay.
hidden priests, invisible priests of sorts.
Okay. But that's the big thing right there. I mean, just to get out of the gate, you made the greatest point that these characters, they were a lot more than just like, you know, I am a monster, I'm here to kill you. One thing I've always told people is that Pinhead's a poet. Pinhead's not your typical monster of course he's pretty grotesque looking, as all the Cenobites are in these film series. They're pretty creepy looking, but if you listen to Pinhead speak, and this is, I mean, people out there who are going to go rent the film now or go buy it or whatever you're going to do, or you know, whatever fun stuff you do to get movies these days,
Nice way to brush over that one.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just being honest.
What do you do to get movies?
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Well, no. You listen to Pinhead speak. Listen to what... I mean, this is writing. It's fiction. But the man's a poet. He's this poetic beast.
And a bit of a philosopher as well.
Exactly. The things he say. I mean, I'm on the edge of my seat. Even when I watch these films over and over again, I'm like, oh, God, that's going to be the coolest line coming up. I can't wait, right? that's what made these characters so interesting. It's what made these movies so attractive. That's why they're still doing them. It's a cult. It's a cult classic now. The Hellraiser series, they're cult films now. And the first two, in my opinion, I think me and Max do agree on this. The first two Hellraiser films, Hellraiser 2, is absolutely. I mean, it's art and gore mixed into one. I mean, a lot of films they get bloody or whatever. And
the later films are becoming more kind of the slasher genre. They don't have quite the creativity as the first two films,
yeah.
but they're still not bad entries, you know, nonetheless.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun. I mean, that's what we're doing here too, and this is a lot of fun to talk about this kind of stuff also. But there is this underlying thing about these characters that do make them very, very different, very attractive, and very artistic at the same time. Just beautiful characters, especially Pinhead, the way he speaks. And Doug Bradley just has done a phenomenal job with his character over the years. He's just gotten cooler with it more. I've watched interview and interview after interview with this gentleman, and they're like, so, you know, what do you do to do this character?
Does
man?
He appear in all of the movies?
He's in all of them, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's in all of them.
Because you're talking to somebody.
Yeah, Doug Bradley
one,
is Pinhead,
so
I've heard people say, you know, what do you do to, like, do Pinhead? And he's like, well, it is kind of like, you know, two different characters. I'm an actor, you know, and when I put the makeup on, man, I become Pinhead. I am Pinhead. I am this prolific beast poet philosopher that comes to take you away because you open the box up, right? And the true monsters really are people like Frank from the first, you know, the first film and the second film. These are the true evils of the world. It isn't the Cenobites. They aren't they aren't demons. I mean, they do say that demons to some, angels to others, you know, but they are more or less the middlemen in this thing going, look, dude, this is what you did, and it's my job to show that to you, right?
And now, you become more of a judge in the later films, particularly with Hellseeker and... which was, I think, Hellraiser 6.
Yeah.
And I think Hellraiser 5, even, he played a role of a judge. He's become more judge-like the longer they've kept him into the series. Some of the diehard fans don't really like that as much either. But, you know, because I monitor a lot of the stuff on that Cenobite.com. There's a lot of a fan base there that...
And I noticed that, too. I remember I saw the first four. I went and saw 3 and 4 opening night in the theater. Both of them. And I saw 4, and I was like, wow, cool. And then Hellraiser seemed to like kind of fizzle out a little bit. I didn't hear too much about it. And then
it went to direct-to-video then.
Yeah, that's when they started going direct-to-video. Hellraiser 4 was the last film that was shown in the theaters, in the box office. And my
also, they're part of that whole, was it that Miramax split that just happened? That they were a part of. So there's been a lot of trouble just with them even getting the video lately. Even.
Jeez. I didn't know about that, but I know when Part 5 came out, one of my roommates back in the day brought it home. He rented it, and I'm like, Hellraiser 5, Inferno, whoa, Bloodbath, sweet, right? And he puts it in, and I'm like, I mean, you have to see the film. It was not nearly, it was, I mean, Max, tell me what you think on this, because when I saw Part 5, it was like, okay, this was more of a story about some guy who was just... bad to the bone. He had his demons. A monkey on his back. And
also an incredible sense of morality, too. If I remember right, he was a detective.
Yeah, he was a detective. He was a cop.
Who had his own, he had these strong morals about himself, but he failed to live up to them. And so it kind of plays on all that.
Yeah.
It's an interesting film. It was a very different Hellraiser story.
It was
for the series.
Very different, as was the film after that, Hellseeker, Part 6. It was the same basis. It was a little more complicated storyline, but it was the same basis. And it made the film, they were different films. I loved them. I think they're brilliant. I know a lot of people I heard were like, oh, they didn't kill enough stuff in that movie. I'm like, come on, man. You know, there's a story
people
here.
People watch horror for all kinds of reasons, I guess.
And that's one of the main ones, apparently. I mean, I like a good story, and these guys wrote a good story around 5 and 6, in my opinion. Now, obviously, the center of all this stuff, I mean, the heart of the Hellraiser story, and this is why you're here, Max, is just this. I mean, my goofy night at work, where I'm like, okay, I gotta find something cool to read. I find your site, and I'm like, oh my god, right? And I read all this stuff. Even after, you know, I had this epiphany of sorts, like, oh wow, it's all fan fiction. I still sat there reading this stuff with utter amazement because this stuff. I mean, I study a lot of secret societies, stuff around that. I study a lot of stuff on the Masonic Order, and you actually there is actually a box called the Mason's Cornerstone, if I'm correct.
The Mason's Keystone.
The Mason's Keystone, sorry. There is a box called the Mason's Keystone.
Although Mason's Cornerstone could work as well. I might have to...
All right, there you go.
Work on that one.
10%, Mr. Max.
Yeah, that's right.
Right here, okay? These boxes have, and I want to talk about this because I want to know where this inspiration comes from, and the ideas you have with these boxes because they're beautiful. Obviously, the people that are listening to this show, these are beautiful works of art.
Thank you. I've got a lot of talented artists that work with me. I do very little of the art for the boxes. I actually put the boxes together after I had the match, but the artwork comes from all over. I've many talented artists who work for me.
And they are. I mean, the people that are going there to check this thing out, they're beautiful boxes. And I mean, I'm sitting there just like, oh, God, I just need to get the money together for one of these things, man. Because they're beautiful. I mean, that's the one thing
I said
is that I was attracted to the Lament configuration. That's the box that's in the film. Every film, the Lament configuration.
When you have the Lament configuration as kind of the starting point, you really have to... You know, the art has to go through a lot of work to get to a place where it can stand up next to the Lament configuration.
Oh, yeah.
The original film.
Because the Lament configuration is just a very intricate... people that there's just go to Google, type in lament configuration, go to image search, and you'll see pictures upon pictures of the lament configuration,
yeah.
which will probably link to Max's site too. And you have to look at every angle because there's it's so complex.
Who came up with the first one? Because obviously, what Clive Barker had this idea.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
And he had to have a team of people put it together.
Right.
And who did, like, the original one? The one...
I think the original designer, I've been studying this for many years, and all I know is that a man by the name of Simon Stacey, I think is his name,
mm-hmm.
Designed it.
Okay.
But he designed it for Clive, particularly for the movie. And
okay.
It was based on, I believe, some Chinese puzzle boxes that that Clive had possessed as a younger boy.
Mm-hmm.
But,
interesting. So there was somebody who designed it, and then they had to obviously build one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, for the movie. So there was like a whole team of people.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It sounds like that's continuing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Because even in the off your site, you can
yeah.
buy these things.
Well, and what Max has done with the Pyramid Gallery is really expanded on this now. I mean, you can literally get your own. You can get your own piece of it now. I mean, you can get your... Now, you do say this on your site, too. To people that are Hellraiser fans out there, or people that think, oh, my God, I can get one of these cool boxes that rolls around and blows up and shoots chains in my face and stuff.
It doesn't actually do that.
Yeah. Okay,
no.
They're
glorified paperweights at this point. I do offer a number of musical versions,
yeah,
wind-up
yeah.
musical versions that I currently have on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah, that's on your homepage, as a matter of fact. There is, like,
yeah.
I think it's a musical box. I forgot what the name of them were. I don't want to call it the musical box series, but didn't you have a formal name for those now or something?
Oh, like the Pyramid Gallery Musical Movements.
Yeah.
Taking from the actual wind-up musical movements that are placed inside the box.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and they're still beautiful. I mean, that's
well,
the one
yeah.
thing. And that's, like I said, that's what the reason you're here, Max, is because I was so attracted to this box. I mean, and I didn't think there was really a box out there, obviously, that could, like, shoot chains in your face and, like, you know, rip you apart. But the mathematics behind this thing and just the engineering, just to make these designs themselves, were just fascinating to me. And
well, you bring up something that's been also that Doug, you asked earlier about, you know, what actually brought me into this. When I first started looking for my own replica of the box out on the web when I first got the internet, I was thinking kind of the same thing that Scott did. I'll look this up and see what I can find.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, it was almost like the search for this box became a real thing for me. Not that I was actually looking for a real Hellraiser box, but I started remembering kind of some of the feelings I was having as I was searching for a replica of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, there really back this is several years ago when I started doing this. I never, you know, there was nothing out there, so
mm-hmm.
I decided to actually, you know, make a gallery where I could actually. You know, but the drive behind it was actually the search, kind of, and that kind of ties into the theme of the movies, which has
yeah.
to do with desire and,
yeah.
and searching for something.
Like that is the base. That is the fabric of this idea that the lament configuration. There's a desire that these people
right.
have, and they want to have these things revealed to them. And that's kind of cool how, I mean, that does tie in directly with what you're trying to do, as is myself, because I was looking for information. I won't lie, for a little while there at the beginning of the year, I really started diving into this stuff a lot more than I, you know, I've always been a big fan of Hellraiser, but I was
right.
like, man, you know, wow, that is, you know, I have new eyes now. I mean, I'm older and more seasoned, and I'm looking at this box as opposed to like, oh, it's a really cool little toy to play with. I'm looking at it going, man, look at how intricate and how beautiful that thing is. Where does this stuff come from? And that's how my obsession,
right.
I got obsessed with it. Like, okay, I'm on a quest now trying to find more information out about this box. That's how I stumbled upon Max here, right?
Well, what's interesting is there's a couple of parallels.
Mm-hmm.
With our own hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Our own
mm-hmm.
hobby isn't searching for, you know, Leviathan or
right.
or the box. But we do search out things that just don't exist in a day-to-day world.
Yeah, the
you
paranormal.
Know,
yeah.
We're in search of paranormal phenomena.
And that's part of the desire, too, because a lot of people, I know there's been stories written, and even within the fabric of the films where people, they didn't really have a desire like, I want to have sex nonstop for like 50,000 years. No, I want to see what this thing is about.
Right.
What does it do? How does it work, and what is on the other side? And that is the mythology right there that parallels our two arts, let's say, okay?
Right.
Together right there is that we are in search of you know, something we are in search of the unknown, more or less. This idea of the unknown. And I think the Cenobites would be about as far over to the unknown as you get.
Right. Right. Yeah, I would hate to think that my search in the unknown would lead to the Cenobites themselves, but I think they also serve, if you take it as a moral of any sort, you can take it as a warning that sometimes our searches can be, we can go a little bit too far in our searches. And I think that kind of ties into some of the themes of the original Hellraiser movie.
Yeah, exactly.
That in your search for the unknown, you do need to look out, to the extremes of how far you're willing to take your search.
Yeah.
Because in some cases, it can go dark places, you know.
And that's a bottom line rule we have in what we do, is there is a certain point that you go to where, and everybody's different, everyone's different, where, you know, the three of us down here are different, and we all have our threshold that we can't cross over, and we've been pushed to that a few times in situations.
I can imagine.
And if you're an intelligent person, you're going to go, look, I've taken it too far here. I don't want to go in that house. I don't feel right about it.